It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
All right, then.
The producer's in a mood.
The producer is in a mood. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast that is pretty much an hour-long, non-musical version of What Does the Fox Say?
Hmm.
So, anyway, I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 143.
143.
I think.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm pretty sure.
I hope he's right, otherwise we're going to be totally off.
Yeah.
Anyway, for those of you who have never joined us before and are brand new, we have a hat. It's magic. It has its own email address. You can email it. In fact, you should. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Once again, TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. You email it with little comments, questions, topics, things like that. Brief but effective. And the hat magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest with inside itself. We reach into the hat, draw out at random, read them on the air, and talk about them till we're bored. That's the whole show.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up.
Every time I say that, there's a weird finality that I feel like I'm ending the show. I'm like, that's the whole show. Good night!
It does kind of feel like that. It does kind of. You don't really know what to say next.
Nope. But I never do. I always speak first and think later. Ask questions seldom.
You don't think at all.
I warned everybody. It's going to be one of those kinds of podcasts.
For those of you who couldn't hear, the producer said to me, quote, "You don't think at all. Be honest." Almost 10 years now, been married to that. Yep. My cup runneth over.
And then she runneth over your cup.
Yes, something like that. All right, it has been 2 weeks in our people's time, not for y'all, since we got together.
So you probably have a lot to say, then.
So do I.
Go ahead. Say it. Tell us what's been going on for 2 weeks. You probably have a lot to say.
Oh, so many things.
Well, then go.
Thanksgiving happened.
Hey, yeah, that did happen, didn't it?
It did happen. I did pretty well at not overeating. I'm surprised at myself.
Congratulations.
I'm still, like, falling apart over here no matter how much I exercise, so I've decided I really, really need to do the weight, which means I really, really need to fix my eating. And so, actually, Monday, this last Monday, like, after Thanksgiving, I have started, as many people have recommended many times in many different places throughout the multiverse, writing down everything I eat in a little notebook.
Oh.
Supposedly that helps a lot. And I am finding that it is, because it's sort of there in black and white. And so it's like, somebody brought treats to work. Let's see. Yeah, no, I really have eaten today like I cannot eat a treat. Or, that'd be fine. It's very handy for that. So I'm finding it very helpful at this point. But yeah, I didn't overeat too bad.
Well, I didn't realize that you suspected or that you wondered if you perhaps were not being as careful with your eating as you thought.
No. I still eat better now than I did before diabetes.
Okay.
But It's a slip because it's all sort of just estimating mm-hmm. and approximate, and it's not hard and fast. Now, it's been a slippery slope, mm-hmm. and I've been getting worse and worse and worse. And that's why I haven't been losing weight. Mm. In fact, I've gained a few pounds, but not much, and I think most of that was the muscle. But I haven't been losing. I mean, I lost a whole bunch in the beginning, mm-hmm. and I just haven't lost anything for the next like year and a half after that. So
I see.
So I'm trying to work on that. But did that. Got together with my gaming group. We have now actually finished characters. Next Tuesday, we'll actually start playing.
And what's the scenario again?
Very excited about
this. You're doing?
The four individuals, sometimes through no fault of their own, sometimes through incredible fault of their own, each come from a different century in humanity's actually future, but past for them, of course. And they all were cryogenically frozen as, in most cases, as a form of punishment. Sort of a life imprisonment kind of deal or whatever. Mm-hmm. They are going to be woken up far into the future of that, and hijinks will ensue.
Is that the whole premise of the game you're playing, or is that just... Is this just a scenario in the game?
No, world? I made this whole thing up.
Oh, I see.
I'm using Star Blazer Adventures, which is a sci-fi role-playing fate-based system that is roughly based off of the old 70s and 80s comic book Star Blazers in the UK. But that is a lot more sort of old-timey space opera kind of thing. This is a little bit more grounded. But I'm using that as a basic starting point. But no, I'm totally making this up.
And what year are they waking up?
Well, we don't know yet.
Oh, you know, though.
I might know.
But, well, don't you have to know, or else how are you going to know what the technologies are and what everything is? I mean,
I can't explain that to you.
Why? Because
it would give too much away.
Oh, okay.
But I will also say, in order to make it interesting, I can't make it seem like I know everything that's going to happen, because then they feel like they don't have any agency. And I can't make it seem like I'm literally pulling everything out of my ass at the moment, or they would figure it doesn't fucking matter, because mm-hmm. I'm just making it up. I have to live in between. Secret squirrel-like.
Yeah, but you have to have some notion of what the technologies are, what the political climate is, what...
Possibly.
No, there's possibly. You have to know those things.
Possibly.
And each one of them were frozen at a different time in...
Different centuries.
And so they have to know... They have to have some idea what that world was like.
Oh, yes. The very first thing we did, I talked about this, the very first thing we did was build a timeline going forward. We went forward from 2013 through the end of the 25th century,
I believe. Was the latest time one of them was frozen.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
some of the characters aren't going to know a lot of that because they're willing to be frozen early.
Yes.
Okay.
One of them got frozen in this century.
Oh, gracious.
Yes.
That's going to be quite a shock, isn't it?
Yes. They're also mildly psychic, mildly brain damaged, and were enforcer for an organized crime syndicate. So they're going to have a heck of a lot of things to deal with. Another one spent his entire life in orbit.
Oh.
So that's going to be different.
His wakeful life?
Yes.
Oh. He was never on a terra firma.
No.
Was. Wow.
No, wrong time period.
Interesting.
There was a time period where the orbit and ground were cut off from each other, and there really wasn't any transport between them, and he was up there at the time.
And you just made this up.
Well, we made up the history.
No, but I mean the whole notion of creating a scenario that would take place in everybody's future, but they were all outside of their normal time frame,
yes.
But they also each came from a different time
yes.
frame.
Yes, I told them, we're going to make history going forward for a few centuries. You each are going to pick a century that you're from, and you're going to make a character. The only requirement is at the end of your character's life, quote-unquote, they were cryogenically frozen as a criminal. They need not actually have been one. It can be a case of mistaken identity or evil political machinations or what, but they were frozen. Like, in Demolition Man did it and stuff, in some sort of societal situation where they thought the death penalty was inappropriate, but they would cryogenically
freeze. But the end goal is to create a story where all the characters are out of their time frame, but none of them come from the same time frame either.
No.
That's an interesting idea. Where'd you come up with that?
My butt. It's going to be very fascinating because there are major political movements and things that we created that changed. So they're going to have vastly different opinions on things.
And value systems
that
and
are
everything.
Well, and organizations that are from, like, they'll all have heard of this particular group, but one of them will view this group in this light,
right.
One of them will view it in
I know,
completely
it's,
different
it's, it's
and
totally
it's
genius.
Not their background, it's actually literally in this century
they were
different.
Right, that's genius. That would make a great film. You should write, like, a screenplay or something.
Yeah, I don't do stuff, though.
That's too bad, because that's a great idea.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's going on.
It's an excellent idea.
I started playing Dragon Age 2.
Oh.
Just in the last couple days. Barely have started. I'm enjoying it, though. I forgot the wonderful thing about the Dragon Age games is they have choices that affect the game, like the other ones, but they don't have a morality system built in. You're not playing to the light side or the dark side or anything like that.
Yeah.
What this means is, to a certain degree, you can take on a role, an actual character. I encountered that recently. I had to make a major decision, and I could tell which one was sort of like, these are the good guys and these are the bad guys, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, the good guys, though strictly speaking they were above board, seemed like assholes. And the bad guys were actually quite professional and polite and understanding. And it also impacted, honestly, that the bad guy's head was female and the good guy's head was male.
I know exactly which choice you're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. And my character, the way I have built her, I'm like, no. And the thing is, I've essentially built her to be a fairly good moral person in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I was like, no, these guys suck. These people make and so I went for it, and I feel very comfortable with that. Had I been playing a game like Mass Effect or whatever, mm-hmm. and I was playing a Paragon character,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have done that, because I would have gotten all these renegade points for it mm-hmm. that would have screwed up other stuff later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I really like that about Dragon Age.
Yeah, even before you revealed the genders of the people, I knew exactly what you were talking about.
Well, there is one particular point early on that, and so that was fun. I'm enjoying that. Almost Human is really bad.
You know, what's interesting about that is I didn't care much for the last episode, the one the most
recent I've
one.
Only seen the first two.
Oh, you didn't?
I hated the second one. I think even the producer hated the second one. Yes, but I think it was the writer's fault.
It was the second one. Well, you know, Scott and I talked about this on the podcast. It was really uneven after the first
one. Well, it was a different writer.
What podcast
is that, William?
Screenshots. Grape shots. Screenshots. But anyway, the first one was, well, there were a lot of problems with the second one, really.
Yes.
I mean, the thing I complained about...
It mostly comes down to the writing, though. The writing was really clunky.
Well, but yes, that's right. But also, one of the things I complained about on the podcast was that you knew when the series came out that eventually they were going to deal with sex bots. You knew that was going to happen.
Yes.
And it had to be the second one?
Well, and it was sense. Also a really heavy, dark episode in a way that really... I had a similar thing with Blacklist. I'm like, okay, this is your one episode like this. You don't get another one like this. And why the fuck is it your second episode?
Right.
Why are you pushing the boundaries of being dark and twisted and offensive in your second episode?
Yeah, there were,
when that's not your vibe.
There were a lot of issues with it. Now,
I'm holding on because it is straightforward sci-fi, and that is very rare on network television nowadays, and I want it to succeed, so I'm still watching it.
The third show,
God.
The third episode is, I thought, was very good.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. The fourth one...
Hi, Izzy.
...takes another step back, but not nearly as far back as the second episode was.
Okay.
So... But I thought the third episode was really good.
Okay.
I really did. I thought it was great.
Well, then we got that to look forward to.
But the fourth episode, it's not horrible, but it's not as good as the third episode was.
Did I tell you we bought a new car?
Yeah, I think.
Did I talk about that last time?
Well,
we
you talked about taking it to the
Pontiac Grand Am.
Yeah, taking it to the shop.
Yeah, we still have that. We didn't get rid of it after 2 weeks.
I take it the shop fixed everything and everything's fine.
Oh, it still needs a good tune-up and stuff like that, but we haven't been back. But yeah, mostly it's running fine. We drove it home for Thanksgiving.
How did that go, Thanksgiving? Or were you not going to talk
about that?
You did?
Remember, I didn't overeat too much.
Oh, well, but yeah, but you didn't give a lot of details about... Oh.
We hung around.
Okay.
I played a lot of games on my computer.
Okay.
And I've seen two movies since we were last here. Yes.
What'd you see?
Well, for Thanksgiving, we tend to do this. Whatever one of the big sort of kids' movies is out at the time, the family will go and watch it. Because then we can take everybody.
Sure.
So we saw Frozen.
Oh, how was it?
Have you seen Frozen by chance?
No, but I'm kind of interested in it, but I don't
know. It was okay. Well, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of specific things to say about it. The general idea, it's fine. If you don't have kids, there's probably not a real point in going to see it.
Oh.
But it's fine. What I will say is it changes the princess trope in some very good ways. Not quite as good as Brave, but it's easily second best in terms of messing with the damsel in distress and the love shit and all of that. It changes some stuff around, and I liked that. I liked the message in that very much. Still has plenty of problematic stuff, and outside of that message that I liked, it wasn't that good. It was frustrating to me in the same way that movies about young people are frustrating to me, because I'm like, you're all being stupid, and if we could just sit down and talk, none of this story would happen. It gets boring after a while. The comic relief is cute. They made a brand new one. You've probably seen him in the trailers. He's a talking snowman.
Mm.
He's fun. He has some good lines. there's some songs in it that are okay. There's a fair bit of singing. One of the main characters is actually played by the woman who played Elphaba in Wicked on Broadway. Mm. Yeah, but if you don't have kids, there's not a real point to doing it, but I am glad it exists in the pantheon, because it deals with the princess stuff a lot better than everything except Braid. Or Brave, sorry. Braid would be a video game. Brave. yeah, so that's that. But yeah, you don't bother. And I'll tell you what's so cool about it off the air, but you probably shouldn't bother seeing it.
What was the other film?
The other film was just last night, Delivery Man.
I don't think I've even heard of that one.
Delivery Man is a comedy that recently came out with Vince Vaughn in it, where he plays a man who finds out he donated to a sperm bank and consequently fathered 500 and some children, and 192 of them are currently suing to find out the identity of their father, and hijinks ensue.
Yeah, I've seen previews for that.
Yeah.
Is it any good?
It's okay.
God.
Here's the thing. There's a lot. First of all, there's a lot of misconceptions about the film.
There are?
The way they're marketing it, not the same. It's Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
It's, you know, about, it's, and Chris Pratt, and his kids are punching him in the face, and it's all, it's not that much of a comedy. I mean, it's a comedy.
Oh, okay.
But it's not a broad comedy. And it's much more trying to pull at your emotional heartstrings and all that. Like, if we toned down the language slightly, it could almost make it onto the Hallmark Channel. Like, it's an emotional dramedy, as it were. And it's trying to be very heartfelt.
Yeah.
And to a certain degree, it succeeds. It's not super funny. It has funny bits. I laughed. It works in some place. Like, it does its emotion well. The whole thing is really oversimplified and has some contradictions and stuff, so it's one of those, you know, as soon as you think about it, doesn't so much hold up and things. but as it is, it's fun. It's nice. And it's, like, I think my mother-in-law would like it. It's PG-13, and consequently, they did at one point use their one F-bomb. She's not going to like that part, but otherwise, I think she'd like it. It's nice. It's not life-changing. But it might be the only Vince Vaughn comedy you can see with your parents. So why pass that up? And actually, and one weird thing I really liked about it, it has in a supporting role Bobby Moynihan, who some of you may know from Saturday Night Live. He's the fat guy now. He's the Chris Farley right now.
Okay.
And he has some great characters, but he's always goofy. He's very, very, you know, all of his stuff is just silly, goofy, or whatever. And in this, he gets to play, I mean, he's still funny, and he says funny things, but he's playing a real part, an actual character. And it was fun to see him actually acting, like, and not just like, hee, ha, ha, you know. That was kind of fun. Because I like him, and I think he's hilarious as a comedian and as an improv guy, but... it was nice to actually see him in a part. Same thing with Chris Pratt, actually. He's in this, too. So, but yeah, it was all right. I also want to talk about one other thing that I've come to terms with over these 2 weeks.
Okay.
Apparently, as I have learned of myself, I'm a cosplay enthusiast.
Oh, what does that mean exactly?
It means I find cosplay cool and interesting and like to look at a lot of videos about it.
Oh, but you would never do it yourself?
I don't think so. I think it's a combination of there's not a lot of stuff with my build I can successfully cosplay as, and it involves doing stuff. Like, if I could come up with a good character that would work for my build and look, and somebody else made me a costume, yeah, I would totally do it.
Really?
But, oh yeah, I love that kind of shit. But, well, here's the deal. Let me give you the saga here, because it's weird. It snuck up on me.
Why? Did you expect you weren't?
I didn't think so, because I've been looking at cosplay videos for a while. The reason I've been looking at cosplay videos for a while is cute girls, generally with heaving, cinched-up boobs, and big, like, showing off a lot of skin, looking sexy as video game and comic book characters, and I'm enough of a nerd and a pervert that that's just awesome.
Okay.
And so I've done that forever.
All right.
And I had to pick and choose carefully because I'm like, oh, this is just going to show general cosplay and talk about how it's made. I don't care about that. I just want to see girls posing sexy and, you know, skimpy outfits and stuff. I'm a pervert. We all know this. This is not new, people. Nobody should be surprised by what I'm saying here. What gets weird is over time, I'm looking at more. I start looking. Nerdist Channel has a whole show about cosplay. Mm-hmm. They go to different conventions. They talk about people doing it, why people do it, how they do it, stuff like that. Profiles on people and how they build their costumes and all this. And I sort of start watching all this stuff. And then I find some great people have cut together music videos of shots of cosplay at like a specific convention. They'll create one for that. And I'm looking at those, and those are really cool, and I'm really enjoying it. And a lot of this has nothing to do with girls dressed in sexy, skimpy outfits. But it didn't hit me until at one point I click on a music video for a cosplay event, and I think it might have been in Asia somewhere, I don't know, because there was a lot of Asian people in it. But it's... women in I think anime-themed ones, they weren't ones I recognized, but they were all very sexy, and they were all posing, and, you know, just the kind of thing. And it went on for, like, 30 seconds of just this, and I found myself going, man, I hope it's just not girls in costume posing sexy. That would suck. And I was like, wait, what? 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 And it wasn't shortly after this. But, yeah, so I don't know what's happened. But I'm just into it overall now. I think cosplay's cool. And I like watching all the different costumes and all the different takes on it. People who do crossplay, people who do steampunk.
Well, the funny thing is, you and I both have some theater in our background, yes. You know, and so on. So I like, as we've talked about before, I like to dress up when we were working together and stuff. So I enjoy seeing cosplay stuff sometimes, but I am always disappointed when I'm looking through it and it's just a bunch of women dressed in skimpy outfits that I don't even recognize.
Now, to be fair, there is still a time and a place for such things. I'm not giving up on love of women dressed as skimpy,
you know, or I'll see some pictures of women who are wearing skimpy versions of male characters' outfits.
Yeah.
I don't like that. And so I don't usually, it's very rare for me to think, oh, I'm going to go see what the cosplay thing is for Comic-Con or whatever.
Yeah.
It's very rare for me to look at all, but then when I do, to look very long, because it's just this boring parade of photographs that don't impress me.
Yeah.
Which is the opposite for you, I guess. But I find it interesting that you thought that while you were watching that video, because that's something I would think.
Suddenly
I would go,
changed on me. And I do like these videos. People are making really... And they get the cosplayers involved. So it's a whole bunch of, 10-second vignettes of, them fighting each other or things like that. Yeah. And it's all very cute and set to some really good music in a lot of cases that I like. So I am really enjoying those. But, yeah, lots of these cosplay profiles and stuff. I saw today Nerdist has this great cosplay marriage proposal that happened at Comic-Con that was amazing. Loved it to death. I highly recommend checking that out. But yeah, I don't know exactly what happened, but I don't know that I would, cause finding a costume that would work for me and the time invested in making a costume are my two roadblocks. If you got rid of those, assuming it didn't take a lot of money for me to travel to wherever I would show it off, I would totally cosplay.
Well, the thing about cosplay for me is the thing I like about cosplay is just the costuming itself.
Yeah.
That's why when I look at pictures and I see something that I think is ridiculous, it doesn't matter how attractive the girl is or anything, or the woman is, that's irrelevant to me. And I might go to a convention and dress in a costume because I like dressing in costumes, but I don't think I can say that I'm into cosplay proper. You know what I mean? Costuming, wearing costumes, yes. But that's another thing. If I see a video or a presentation that's really getting heavy into the cosplay aspect of it and the portrayal of a particular character, or going to a convention or any, or like you said, videos where you show two characters and they're fighting each other because, I don't care.
Oh, see, no, I totally love that.
I don't care about that. I just, if someone's wearing a Batman costume, I'm interested in how good it looks compared to the movies, or if it's based on an original design or a comic book design. That's what I care about. It's kind of like my brother Scott. He's into that kind of stuff, and also props and prop replicas and stuff like that.
So you're talking about the construction part, the stagecraft,
and a little bit, and a little bit of the presentation. But as far as going somewhere to spend any time pretending you're actually this person, no, I don't.
Oh, see, no, that I totally love that, because again, I'm a role player first and foremost. Yeah, so I love that idea.
Yeah,
And you are dead inside.
Well, and this is why if I wore a costume to a convention, I probably wouldn't wear one that was based
recognizable,
on...
I arguably have done cosplay as an original character, but mostly I just put on some shit that I owned that I thought looked cool and that I could get away with. And I was like, yeah, this is my costume.
Well, don't a lot of people do that at conventions? They wear things that they just make up?
I don't go to a lot of them.
I think that happens.
I'm trying to think. Recently, I have two ideas for cosplay that I could pull off. One, if I was willing to shave my hair or at least put on a bald cap and shave my beard, and somebody, a good tailor, I could probably make a decent kingpin. Mm. Would you just get me in a nice white suit? Mm. I think that could work. Mm. And then the other one is I thought of actually doing a crossplay version of Granny, the Apocalypse General or whatever. Oh, come on, people. She probably has a long name, like Granny Good or something like that. Okay, no, fuck it. I'm looking this one up.
Okay.
Because too many people are going to...
Is this a DC character? Because there is a DC character.
I think it might be.
Named Granny.
Granny Goodness, I think.
I think that is what it is.
But I could do a crossplay version of Granny Goodness. See?
Yeah, DC.
Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah.
I could do that shit right there. That'd be awesome. Or just go full on and do bearded Sailor Moon. But
now,
actually, that's what I thought of too. I was gonna keep my beard and everything and do a version of Sailor Pluto and say when Pluto got declassified as a planet, the original Sailor Pluto quit, and I came in as
Now listen to yourself. You could probably come up with 1,000 ideas like this.
Yeah.
Do them, and you'd you'd probably love it.
Yeah, it's the doing things. If somebody else wants to make
true. A lot of these would probably take some time.
Everything requires effort, and I don't do effort.
Right, but you know, a lot of things in your life are happening that you didn't know how they happened. You're enjoying going to the gym. You've realized you like cosplay, and it's not just about the skimpy outfits. Maybe you will find yourself thinking, oh, you know, this would be really easy to do, and you take one step, and then the next, and the next. Before you know it, you've made this elaborate thing that actually wasn't very easy to do, but you enjoyed it, so you didn't notice that it was complicated.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like me.
Well, none of the things you've been doing in the last several weeks sounded like you before.
I haven't been doing much in the last several weeks.
I'm just saying, people change.
I'm over halfway through Scribblenauts Unlimited.
What?
I'm over halfway through Scribblenauts Unlimited.
I don't know what that is.
It's a video game.
Scribblenauts?
Yes, you play this little character and you go around trying to help people out of situations. And you have a magic notebook that when you write in it, things come to life. Like if you wrote in, like, hose, a hose would appear. If you wrote in lion, a lion shows up. Stuff like this. And I have learned things like if Santa needs you to make Rudolph shine even brighter because the fog is so thick his nose will not do it, do not opt to simply make Rudolph radioactive because it will kill Santa.
And that's bad.
That is bad, yes. Okay. That is bad. Also, if there's a fish being bullied by other fishes and you want to scare them away, summoning the Kraken is not a good idea because it will just eat all the fish involved, and that does not count as having succeeded.
Oh, I was going to say, that does solve the problem.
No. All I did instead, well, I went back and I just made a scary mask and gave it to the one fish, and I put it on, and all the others ran away.
I see.
It's a crazy creative game. I highly recommend it. Scribblenauts. And this one is on Steam, and it's called Scribblenauts Unlimited. It's very fun. I think even you would like
it. Even I would like it.
You don't like anything. You're like Mikey from the Life cereal commercials.
I like Portal.
You would like it.
Portal and Portal 2. Those are great games.
Yes. Anyway.
Are you going to get a PS4? No, you were going to get an Xbox One or something. What? Or are you going to get either one of these things? Did we talk about this?
I'm going to hold off here. I want to see where this conversation goes.
Why?
Because it's fascinating how far you've made it on your own already.
I'm trying to remember if we've talked about this before.
I want to see you start fighting with yourself in a minute.
That will happen if you wait long enough.
In my mind, here's how this goes.
Okay.
I'm always a late adopter. So we wait. We see which console turns out to be the best, right, at least for the beginning of the cycle. So, you know, a few months, a year. And then we buy that one. And then down the road, we probably buy the other one.
Oh, I see.
The producer believes no matter what happens in the world, whenever it happens, our first one is going to be the PS4.
Well,
and I don't know if she cares after
we
that.
We won't buy both, and we're probably going to get a PS4. But like you, we're probably going to wait.
Yeah, no, although, ultimately, I can't imagine I wouldn't buy both.
Although there's some games that it's really odd for us. Here we are, you know, winter's here, and we're not playing a new game.
Yeah.
You know, that seems like the time of year where we're sitting around, it's cold outside, there's no place to go, you start a new game. I mean, we've even started playing Skyrim a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Just to have something that we're playing, because that's what we like to do at this time of year, and there aren't any new games. But you know, the PS4 is going to have some games that we're really interested in playing.
Yeah, right now, the launch games for both of them don't seem to make it worth it. I think it's a bad idea to buy any of them.
Although,
right,
we're kind of interested in Diablo 3, because...
Yeah, but you don't need a next-gen for that. I'm pretty sure you can get that just on PS3.
Oh, I thought...
Because it came out a while ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Because I was thinking of getting, and actually we would play it online with the producer's sister and stuff. We haven't gotten around to it because it came out as a $60 title, and we weren't willing to pay for that. But no, you can totally get that for the PS3.
Oh, I didn't know that. Maybe that's what we should do, because, like I say, we've been wanting to play a game, and, you know, all three of us could play it together.
Yes.
Which...
Assuming you have enough controllers, and...
Well, we do.
Or two of you and two of us could play it.
Sure, yeah.
Assuming we bought it. Let us know if you get it.
That's right.
Should have put that on my Christmas list. I didn't put Diablo 3. I totally forgot about Diablo 3.
I had no idea that it was already out for PS3.
Yeah,
didn't know
it came out a while ago for PS3. I mean, it came out a long time ago otherwise, but...
I thought that was, like, one of the release titles for PS4.
No.
So stupid, I don't know these things. I'm out of the loop for everything, though, really.
That is true. I cannot lie about that. Hold on a second.
You're going to be looking things up all night, aren't you?
No, just the important shit.
Did you put together your wish
release,
list?
Here we go.
Did you put together your wish list for Christmas?
Yeah, I made a Christmas list and sent it to everybody. I think next year I may not bother. I don't know. Okay. At Sony's press conference on February 2013, Chris Metzen announced that Diablo 3 would release on both PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4. Activision Blizzard stated in their first quarter this goes on for a long time.
Now, see, I think I knew that it would be on both platforms, but I didn't know it was going to release on one before the other. Because that was another thing was, I knew it was going to release on both platforms, and we talked about how the PS3 version wouldn't have all the options the PS4 version had, so we would wait.
PS3 and Xbox apparently released in September.
Oh. Well, you know what? Now that I'm remembering that we knew it was going to be on both.
So it's been around forever.
Now that I'm remembering we knew it was going to be on both, I think we'd still wait because I think there's some options on the PS4 that the PS3 doesn't have or something.
September 3rd.
Well, that's not forever. That's a couple months ago.
That is forever. So long ago.
Yeah, we're probably still going to wait on that one.
All right, so hat?
Yeah, let's get to the hat. All
right. It's cold from sitting here for 2 weeks. Ezzy's here, too, so she'll help answer.
Mark McKibben.
Mark McKibben, where the wind comes sweeping down a plane.
Dear meat puppets of the magical talking hat.
I haven't had dinner yet, so that sounds really good. Meat puppets.
What is the most disturbing movie you've ever seen? I tend to forget things that disturb me, so I doubt I can answer this question.
So there's a whole, like half of the 80s he can't remember.
Oh, I didn't watch movies in the 80s.
No, I mean your life in the 80s.
I mean, I guess I did, like Batman and Edward Scissorhands and stuff, but
it
otherwise,
no. It was a joke, dumbass.
I'm telling you, though, I didn't watch a lot of movies.
I know,
in the
80s. And the point was that your entire life was so traumatic at a certain point that you forget entire years of your life. Not the movies you watched, whole years of your life in the 80s, because it was so traumatizing. That was the joke.
The 80s itself was traumatizing?
Yeah, that your entire life during that time.
Okay.
You didn't say you tend to forget movies that traumatize you. You said you tend to forget things.
No, that is what I said.
No, you said you tend to forget things that
traumatize
you.
Well,
and so I was implying that there were entire years that the whole year was so traumatizing to you that you just don't remember it.
I get it.
Yes, but it's too late. Everyone else has ungotten it because I had to explain it.
I meant things like movies, you know, books, TV shows. That's what I meant.
See what I'm working with here, people?
I know, I'm often not very specific, right. And then sometimes I say things that don't even make any sense.
Some really disturbing ones I've actually stopped watching. Bent was a good example. Good movie. High quality movie. What's his name? He's around a lot now. He's British. Dark hair. He's an action hero in a lot of stuff.
I don't know.
Anyway, he plays a homosexual in Berlin in the 30s who is around right when they start rounding up everybody to go to concentration camps. It's a powerful movie. It's very intense, and I just couldn't take it, and I stopped.
There are movies I've stopped watching because they were disturbing, but of course I don't remember.
Yes, but I want to make it clear. I think it's probably a great movie, and the producer finished watching it. It wasn't the fault of the quality of the film or anything. I didn't feel it was gratuitous. It just wasn't something I was willing to go through. Requiem for a Dream. I fucking hate that movie, and it's really disturbing.
Okay. I don't remember. I mean, I saw that. I don't... What was disturbing about it?
Oh, it's just all the horrible things happening to people, theoretically, because of drugs. But it's mostly just everybody's lives falling apart and being horrible.
Yeah, people, but there's lots of arms, movies like that. I mean, that seems to be...
But that one was really graphic, and I don't know. It got me.
I don't remember, so maybe I thought the same thing.
Clockwork Orange. Super disturbing.
Never seen it. Not interested in seeing it for that reason.
Probably a good idea. In most cases, they're not horror movies. Most horror movies aren't that disturbing to me. Because they're unreal to me, if I get a sense that one is going to seem real to me, I probably won't choose to watch it. It's harder now. I have to look back, because nowadays, if I think a movie is really going to be disturbing, I'm likely to choose not to watch it.
Yeah, a film that I would... that I can remember watching and that I watched all the way through, that I would use as a standard for the bar of what I consider disturbing, would probably be Sin City.
Oh.
That's a film I both remember watching, and I did watch all the way through without walking out on it. Even though, looking back, I wish I had walked out on it, because I thought it was so terrible.
That you might have a winner there. I forgot about that.
And I imagine that some of the other films that I don't remember are probably on par with that. So that's what I kind of use as a bar.
Sin City kicked us in the head so hard we were silent for about 20 minutes afterwards.
Yeah. Now, of course, you can think of films as disturbing in a good way. Like, that's what the film was going for, and yes, it was disturbing, and that was great.
Come up with films, because I have quite a few, I think. Wonderful films. Glad I saw them. We'll never see them again, because they are disturbing in just the right way. The prime examples I have, Schindler's List. Huge one for me in that.
Man.
I thought Schindler's List was an incredible movie. It was some of the best acting I had ever seen. I will never watch that movie again.
Yeah, right, right.
Crash. Not the one where James Spader has sex with people in automobile things and stuff. No. That's a fucked up movie I've never seen. No, Crash was a movie about the lives of a bunch of people in L.A. as relates to this particular car accident. And it was mostly about race relations in L.A. Incredible movie. Phenomenal performances. Really moving. Really thought-provoking. Never want to see it again. Do you have any movies like that?
Schindler's List is a good one.
Wit is a good one.
I haven't seen that one.
Wit is based off a play, and it's Emma Thompson's in the film, and it's a first-person perspective comedy, quote-unquote, about a woman who's dying of cancer. Gut-wrenching film.
I've seen a lot of disturbing documentaries.
Yeah.
Documentaries that were extremely disturbing, and not in a good way, but not in a, you know, not a way you're disgusted, but in a way you're like, wow, why don't more people know about this? Why aren't people doing something about this?
Waiting for Superman was a little like that for me.
But it's, in terms of the thing you're talking about, I can't remember off the top of my head, but yeah, there's several films like that you watch, and you're glad you saw it, because it makes you think about things that you know you should be thinking about.
Yes.
But now that you're thinking about it, you're not particularly anxious to go thinking about it like that again.
I learned from that movie, I don't need to reapply that.
Because then it just feels like you're a glutton for punishment or something.
Yeah.
I can't think of very many movies like that off the top of my head, but I'm sure there are several of them.
Maybe a little Brokeback Mountain. I haven't gone back to Brokeback Mountain. I don't know that I definitely wouldn't, but that was rough.
Yeah.
And it was very good, but it was rough.
Then there are films that are unsettling. Like, not so much disturbing, but like, that afterwards you're kind of creeped out by them.
American Beauty had that reaction for me.
Yeah.
Very strongly. Yeah. I've seen it many times since.
I remember you were telling me.
Speaking of which, doesn't so much hold up anymore, but at the time, mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And some of that is what you bring to the movie, because I feel like if I had known what American Beauty was about, if somebody had described it to me, wouldn't have the reaction. I went in so blind on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And movies do just sort of, like, stick with you with thoughts and stuff. Those are usually my favorite movies. I Heart Huckabees was like that. Like, I just pondered that forever afterward.
That's a good one. I don't know if it holds up either. I've only seen it once, but
I've seen it a few times and I really liked it. It's now been a few years. I don't know, because it's a little navel-gazy.
I know, but it is. But I remember when I saw it, I thought, I wish I'd come up with this idea. I would have done it differently so it was less like what you were just saying.
Yeah.
But the premise, the overall notion, I really like that a lot.
Really, and it's really funny and clever. And actually, if you want to go in that line of way too navel-gazing, What the Bleep Do We Know was a movie that at the time I found just incredibly moving. And then as time went on, I'm like, wow, no. But I still appreciate that movie very much for one reason and one reason only. Marley Matlin plays the main character, and she's deaf because Marley Matlin is deaf. And that has nothing to do with the story.
Nope, just
and
happens
to be. Absolutely the only thing I've ever seen her in where that is the case.
Yeah.
I really wish that would happen more with her.
Yeah.
Where she just happens to be deaf.
Because she's a very good actor.
It's not a story about, how deafness does this. No.
No, the fact that she was deaf had nothing to do with anything.
But she was. I mean, it came up practically in a couple of situations.
Sure.
So even if for some reason you didn't know who she was, you would know she was deaf in this movie, but it wasn't, had nothing to do with it. And I was so pleased with that. But, disturbing films. Yeah, I avoid them nowadays. It's like, I watch a lot of horror films. I like them. I think some of it is just stupid fun. But I think a lot of it has to do with boundary pushing issues and stuff like that, that I like them. But there is a certain subgenre that's basically horror movies that really seem like they could happen that I don't want to go anywhere near. So all the horror movies that are like, you know, revenge fantasies, anything that's not supernatural that just involves like home invasion and shit like that, I don't go near those. Not because I get scared, but just because I get disturbed.
Yeah.
Like, I live in Iowa City. I'm not super worried that serial killers are going to come in here and do shit, but it just messes with...
Well, and lately, I've found a lot of political thrillers and things like that, you know, hit way too close to home sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, these films are... They're fictional, but, you know, you're reading news reports and other things where these things just like this are happening in other places, so it doesn't feel like fiction. And you leave the theater thinking to yourself, I know that someone made that story up, but that story took place in the world that I live in, the world I really live in. And you just feel horrible. And you're not really entertained. You're kind of depressed when it's over. But
yeah, I don't like being disturbed in movies anymore. I avoid it. And some of it's burying my head in the sand. I mean, I have not seen the film Food Inc. for that very reason. Yeah. I know that movie's going to bug the hell out of me, and it's going to rack me with guilt and concern. I'm not going to change anything about what I do.
Well, you'll get over it.
I'm just going to feel shitty about it for a while.
For a little while, yeah.
Exactly. Because I'm an asshole. but, yeah, so that kind of stuff I avoid. I mean, there's disturbingly bad. Like, holy shit, what the fuck happened? Why was that so horrible?
Well, and there's also
Dark Knight Rises.
Well, there's also disturbing... What kind of world do we live in where this is considered entertainment?
That was basically, you know, Sin City.
Well, but even things that aren't like that, but are still really ridiculous and stupid, or really, I don't know, just something that tells you where our society is in a way that's not quite as disgusting and misogynistic as Sin City, but still baffling and disturbing to think, this is entertainment today? I don't understand.
I'm
going to
guess you have more of those than I do.
Probably. Like, for example...
I'm pretty much deep in society's gutter most of the time.
I mean, I see previews for films like that all that I would never see, but I'm sure that if I did watch them, I would be completely disturbed by the state of society and how this is what it passes for entertainment.
I, throughout my life, up to and including right now, have periodically and with some regularity watched movies purely because I thought I was going to see boobs in them. So there's really not that much that disturbs me on that.
I mean,
level.
I realize there are some people like that, but you're not really.
Nowadays I need more context for my boobs, but yeah, no, totally.
That doesn't strike me. I think you're making that up.
No, but there is a weird thing because it's not on its surface. It's not that straightforward because if it was just nudity, I've got the internet for that. There's something. I think it's some weird synapses in my brain that happened when I was in high school and I was still going through VHSs at the video store hoping to find boobs because there was no internet. And so somehow in my head that can be titillating even though, like, on paper it's so much easier to handle otherwise. I don't know. But no, I can be as puerile as the next. Hmm. More so than a lot of them. I'm a twisted motherfucker.
Well, I don't know if I'd go so far as to say that. I mean, I appreciate...
Go ahead, say it. Say
no,
that.
I appreciate attractive, you know, woman just as much as anybody else.
I don't think that you do.
I'm sure I do.
I don't think that you do.
I just am really... I'm really offended by things like objectification and exploitation. And it just takes any of the pleasure I might otherwise get out of the display, completely out of it, you know.
Yeah.
So I just can't... I can't be interested in that kind of thing.
Poor William.
I don't feel like I'm missing anything.
All right, let's hurry and do one more.
Okay.
We don't have a lot of time. This is from Jazz. Wow. This is basically the question we just got. Well, not really, but this is where it went. This works out well, so. Dear Chapeau Cheppies. Or Chapeau Cheppies, if you wish. That might have to be the title. Because what else have we got that's better?
I don't know.
What's one of your favorite bad movies or B movies? From Jazz, a.k.a. the C-movie scion. So apparently her parents were C-movies.
Well, her father was in one, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
What was he in?
Jazz, you're going to have to go on the blog and tell us, because I don't
know. Oh, I want to know about this.
Yeah, he was in one.
Oh.
See, he was a barker for the circus, and somehow he got into a film... Some B-movie horror film.
Was it The Incredibly Strange Creatures Who Stopped Living and Became Mixed Up Zombies? If it was that one, Jazz, I'm going to... Oh, my God.
No.
My head will pop off.
Jazz, I'm sorry I don't remember, but...
Tell us on the blog. Everyone should go to the blog and find out.
I think you can even find...
TheMagicalTalkingHat.com. Go there.
I think you can even find a YouTube clip of it.
Any movie of the right era that had a carnival barker is... just
well,
awesome
but he's,
shit
I don't,
movie.
He's not doing that. He plays a police officer or something, I think.
Well,
but,
that's not as fun.
But another thing he did, Jazz has great stories about her dad. Another thing he did was he went around the country doing sex ed talks, and he had these sex ed materials and stuff, but he changed his name. I think it was Dr. Elliot or something like that for it. And one of the funniest stories that she tells is, you know,
you realize you're just stealing material for Grapevine now.
She should write a book, because this is some great stuff. But her grandfather owned a circus or something for a while.
Okay.
Jazz, and if I'm getting this wrong, clarify, but her father, like, when she was growing up, she often would want cotton candy. But her father wouldn't get her cotton candy, because he said that was for suckers.
Oh! Yep.
I thought that was so funny when she told me that. She's got great stories. She really needs to write a book.
People.
But anyway,
B-movie. That you enjoy.
Well, that's...
one of your favorite. I was just thinking the other day, Big Trouble in Little China. I need to see that thing again.
I don't...
Oh, that movie is awesome.
It's so stupid. I don't really like B-movies as a rule, but there are a lot of movies I like that people would consider B-movies, I think.
Today, the B-movies they make now are too self-aware. Don't like them as much.
So maybe I don't know what a B-movie is exactly.
It's hard to say at times.
I really do like the first Wolfman movie with Lon Chaney Jr. in it. I like it.
Oh, I don't think that I think it's necessarily good.
Well, see, that's what I don't think so either. But I also like the first Dracula movie with Bela Lugosi.
Too old. B-movies didn't really kick in until later.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Give me some stuff out of the 60s, 70s, 80s.
Oh, I purposely avoid things in the 60s and 70s and 80s, I guess. I already said that, didn't I? So B-movies, I don't know if I will watch.
No, I like a lot of B-movies. But I'm trying to think of ones that are like my favorites because they all sort of blur together. Big Trouble in Little China was really good. One of my absolute favorites is Krull. Seriously, I fucking love Krull. Never in anything have people acted so hard. They act so hard in that movie. Like the intensity, the desperation with which they want to properly portray these characters is palpable, which is a problem because in no way does that match up with the characters. But you can just tell how bad they want it.
I don't know. I mean,
see Krull, people.
It seems like there would be B movies that I like because technically a B movie isn't necessarily a bad movie. It's just obviously a film that
didn't make me look this shit up.
No. It's just obviously a film that didn't get the same kind of budget an A movie would get. It's not necessarily bad.
Not necessarily. Low budget does not mean B movie.
Okay.
It implies something about quality.
No, I know, but I think the term
Well, and her question actually says favorite bad movies or B movie.
Oh, okay. Well,
so that's what she's going for.
I don't. You know, you're often talking about movies that you like because they're bad, and I can't think of any bad movies that I like because they're bad.
B-movie is a low-budget commercial motion picture that is not definitively an art house or pornographic film.
Okay, shoot, you're the producer. You can ask anything you want.
What? I don't know.
He just does this sometimes. This isn't the first show he's done this.
No, but I have done it 3 times now. Yeah, it's getting a little weird.
But, okay, see, that's a pretty broad definition. Low budget, but excluding...
Low budget commercial film, so not an amateur film.
Right.
That is not art house.
Right.
Or pornographic.
Right. So it excludes those two for obvious reasons.
I'm guessing a lot of the shit you're going to want to list is probably art house.
So that's what I was saying before, was this is a film that a studio produces that it's just not their A-list stars, it's not their A-list writers, but it doesn't necessarily have to be bad.
No, not necessarily.
So, in fact, I can think of a lot of reasons I might like a B-movie. For example, I like the original Star Trek, and that has a lot of B... things that you might see in a B movie, but I can overlook those things.
Star Trek would cover.
Well, I think
I don't think it was low budget for starters.
Oh well, that's probably true. That's probably true. But she's asking specifically about bad movies. But see, I don't have that thing where I like bad movies that are actually good. I don't do that.
I think the producer has some of that problem as well. Which is why New Year's Eve always doesn't ring so true for her, because we watch so many of those kind of things.
Yeah, I know.
If you'd asked me this later, I might have said The Room. I haven't watched The Room yet.
Although I like things that other people say are bad, but I don't think I like them because they're bad. I just think I like them. Yeah. Like the first Ghost Rider movie. I like it.
Oh, fuck you.
You
get
always,
out of my house.
You always say that when I bring this up. This is the third time I've brought
it
up.
That movie sucks.
This is the third time I've brought it up, and you always say the same thing.
Oh, I hate
you. But I like
it. I kill you in the face.
And I don't like it because I think it's bad. I like it because I think it's fun. I don't think it takes itself too seriously.
It sucks.
Maybe it does, but...
Oh, you're an asshole. Get away from my house.
You always say this.
Oh, my God.
Do you forget each time
apparently
that I told you this
apparently I block
before?
It out for the sake of our friendship.
Also...
Jesus Christ.
And I wonder if this might be related to why she's asking this question. The TV show Dracula.
Yes.
We're still watching it, and
I haven't watched this the last time I talked.
While I have some issues with it because it's got some problems, I don't understand when other people talk about what they don't like about it.
Yeah.
I don't understand what they're talking about.
And you don't understand because I still like Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah. Because one of the things people say is, well, Dracula's silly. And I think I know what they're talking about with what's silly, but in terms of silly, it can't even touch Sleepy Hollow, which is not just silly, it's downright ridiculous. So I'm not quite sure.
Well, Sleepy Hollow takes itself a lot less seriously than Dracula.
See, I think it takes itself very... First of all, that's another thing. So I've heard people say that Dracula doesn't take itself very seriously.
No, I think Dracula takes itself too seriously.
I don't think it takes itself too seriously or not. I think it's just a regular show that does what regular shows do. I think Sleepy Hollow... I don't think they know what they're doing, and I don't know how it can possibly
Sleepy
be
Hollow
seriously.
Frequently, the characters frequently acknowledge that how ridiculous it is and that they're in over their head and how this stuff doesn't make sense. They regularly talk about that.
See, that must be going
in
right past me.
Dracula, everything is
it
very,
looks to
very
me
serious.
like they really
Sleepy
want you to
Hollow
take this seriously.
Sleepy Hollow actually used the phrase beyond. And in fact, replayed it on a previously.
But when I see Sleepy Hollow do something like that, what I hear is the writers trying to get the audience to forgive the ridiculousness of the show by looking like they're not taking it too seriously. But it doesn't fly.
I feel like you're assuming too much about
this. And I probably am, but part of it is because the storytelling is so bad. You know what I'm saying? Like it when the show does that kind of stuff, like you're saying, when they make reference,
yeah,
like it's self-referential, it when they do it, because the rest of the writing is so bad, it comes off more as a someone bumping into a wall or something and saying, oh, I totally meant to do that.
Yeah.
That's how it comes off to me when they do
it. And there may be other factors, because I freely admit I might be much more forgiving of Dracula if I liked one goddamn person on that show. They're all assholes.
Well, but Steve, and to me, what interests me is, you know, I'm interested in how it compares to Bram Stoker's story, because it's obviously based on that. I'm interested in the...
Terribly. Not remotely.
Well, but the comparisons are still interesting to me.
Okay.
And the stuff that's taking place in that time period, you know... Because some of the things they talk about that are taking place in the late 19th century were taking place, and I find them interesting to see and to hear people talking about them. So
yeah, you're special.
Well, but what I'm saying is there are a lot of things that are going to interest me that help me look past some of the things,
yeah,
that are going to bother you, and probably the exact opposite is true of Sleepy Hollow. There are things about that are going to bother me that won't bother you, so that you can enjoy the things that...
Oh, constantly, yeah.
Yeah. So it...
No, and that's I don't defend whenever I try and defend Sleepy Hollow, I defend my enjoyment of it, my unironic enjoyment of it. I do not defend the quality of the show.
Well, the one thing
with
is
Dracula, it's my ironic enjoyment of
the one thing that Sleepy Hollow has going for it is they really seem to have drawn Ichabod's character really well.
Yeah.
And he's portrayed really well, and it is... That character is kind of fun to watch him do what he's doing and say what he...
And
you know,
we're building
saying
some relationships that I'm starting to enjoy. Some of them are a little heavy-handed at present, but I see where we're going.
Yeah.
They're doing a better job than Almost Human is, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree on that.
Almost Human's dialogue at this point plays like a series of after-school specials.
yeah, it's...
I'm holding on to Almost Human purely because it's fucking... true blue sci-fi, and I want to foster that in television.
I would say give it a chance. We're going to, and I think
okay.
I think it's got some potential. And we're going to keep watching Dracula just for the interest
I'm
in,
going
the,
to,
in
but
the period aspect
if it
of
gets
it.
Boring, I'll stop and I'll switch to Atlantis. Because Atlantis is a fucking train wreck on toast.
I didn't even know there was a show called Atlantis.
BBC America.
And what's
Atlantis.
It about?
Oh my god, we're over time. I'm going to try and do this. We only watched the pilot, but I'm saving. There's enough room on the DVR. I'm just saving it in case Dracula gets boring. I'll switch over to that. Guy named Jason. His father lost in the ocean. Long ago. He's now a man. He's going to go look in a submarine for his father. Gets sucked
he
through a vortex.
He thinks his father's in a submarine?
No, he's in a submarine.
Oh, he's in
looking
a...
for his father.
Okay.
Gets sucked into a vortex into another world that appears to be ancient Greece and the city of Atlantis, where he goes in and he finds out, oh, he's from there originally. His father smuggled him away to the other world. And there are many people here out to get him. And he has to watch out for that because it's been prophesied. And, oh, but we can't tell him the truth about himself. By the way, he seems to be manifesting weird powers where, like, he can jump higher than other people and shit. And his best buddies now, after the pilot, are two apartment housemates who he now shares the apartment with them, essentially, in ancient Greece. Hercules, the Hercules, played by the fat guy from the Full Monty. And his scrawny ginger... housemate Pythagoras.
Wait. So, how did they make it to Atlantis also?
They just live there. They're just in Atlantis.
But they... But he knew them before.
No. He met them.
Oh.
They helped him out, and then hijinks ensued.
Oh, so he's just living there like a regular guy.
Well, he can't get home. He has to find out the truth about his father, and, you know, all this, seriously. Fucking A. It's like... Okay. Maybe... All the action pack shows just made it to Britain, and the writers saw them. They watched a bunch of Hercules and Xena and Sinbad.
Yeah.
It's like that. It's seriously like that. And it has so many cliches per minute. I got a nosebleed. It's amazing.
Is it supposed to be funny?
A little bit, like Hercules or whatever. Just a little bit.
Oh, a little campy.
But mostly it's action-y and it's... Holy shit! I'm like, this has to... You can't have lived through the 90s and think this is in any way original new program. Like, it's amazing!
Well, you know.
But I only hate watch one at a time, and I'm on Dracula. But if Dracula gets boring, I'm jumping ship for Atlantis, because that thing is fucking ridiculous. doesn't have Victorian mud wrestling that puts women in heat. But still. Anyway, we got to go, people. You should email the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com.
Jazz, tell some, blog. Tell some of your stories about your dad. They're awesome.
Themagicaltalkinghat.com. Go to the blog, see what Jazz has to say, and the rest of us wonderful people, the Chepo Chappies. and we will talk to you next week.
Yep.
Seriously. Hercules and Pythagoras in a house.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.